You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebefe hanging with you guys on this Wednesday. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on his Yankees losing Game 1 of the AL Wild Card Series last night against the Boston Red Sox. Crochet was absolutely dominant. That's exactly what we needed, baby, as someone who bet the Boston Red Sox. Loved that one. But Nick will give us the Yankee perspective coming up in 40 minutes. 20 minutes from now, we'll get into NFL awards, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and the player you need to bet to win Defensive Player of the Year heading into Week 5. I'll lay it out for you coming up in 20 minutes. But in the last segment, I was talking about Dylan Gabriel starting this Sunday's game in London when the Browns take on the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, I am looking to be more open-minded about Dylan Gabriel. And if as long as he's serviceable with the way that that defense is playing, which is at a championship level, I think the Browns at plus 650 to make the playoffs is a very live ticket to have heading into Week 5. So that is a bet that I made earlier this morning. I also do find it very hilarious. We're not going to talk about this during the headlines, but I saw it on my timeline, so I'm going to bring it up. Browns rookie quarterback Shador Sanders pantomiming his answers when asked about the QB change. Shador is like one of the funniest people in sports, I think, right now. Like, the man is just like, his mouth is moving, but the words aren't coming out. Just pantomiming the answers to some of the questions from the Cleveland Browns media. Just never change, Shador. Never change. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern time, is our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, how we doing on this fine Wednesday?
We're doing pretty good, Femi, and I like your thought on Cleveland. I was actually looking at that before we talked this morning. I was looking at that, and I'm looking at that schedule and going, this thing is manageable. They might win some games here over the next 5-6 games. I'm sitting there going, maybe they're going to win 7-8 games here if Gabriel's decent. I like you taking it a step further with a shot at the playoffs, especially when you sit there and seeing some of these teams looking a little Baltimore, obviously the main one, but some of these teams maybe not looking quite as strong as we thought in August as they are right now. Maybe someone can sneak in and be the seventh seed.
Yeah, and for those who have not seen the schedule, you might be driving, you're probably at work or whatever listening, but we appreciate you listening and watching You Better You Bet. But like, of course, they have this Sunday's game against the Vikings in Tottenham, at the Steelers, which, yeah, like, that's a tricky game. It's very difficult. They're going to be an underdog, but like, with the way the defense is playing, they can at least be in the game. Home Dolphins, at Patriots, bye week, at the Jets, home Ravens, which Lamar is probably going to be back, at the Raiders, home Niners, home Titans, at Bears, home Bills, home Steelers, at Bengals. Like, it's not that difficult. And if Gabriel's like the 25th best quarterback in the league, I think they can win about 8 games. If he's average, I think they can win 10 games potentially. Like, that defense is that good. And nobody's talking about it because the record is 1-3 and the team has been very boring to watch, but the defense is awesome. And I think we want to play into that. So plus 650 for the Brownies to go ahead and make the playoffs. All right, we've talked enough Cleveland Browns. Let's get to the big stories that we have throughout the world of sports. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, we are going to kick it off with football. We are going to start with baseball. Yeah. That's right. Last night, we had some MLB playoffs in action. The Red Sox took down the Yankees 3-1. Yankees certainly had some puzzling lineup decisions, had a lot of Yankee fans upset. Bombers, of course, load the bases in the bottom of the ninth inning. Nobody out, and they failed to score a single run. Garrett Crochet was awesome for Boston. Just 4 hits over 7 2/3 with 11 strikeouts. And Femi, the Red Sox will try and close this one out tonight in the Bronx.
I mean, like, first of all, like, what a fun game that was. It felt like a playoff game because it is a playoff game. It felt like how it's supposed to feel, but it was just a really entertaining game. I know like the unders have just been absolutely crushing so far through these wild card games. It looks like we're headed towards another under, knock on wood for those of you who bet the under in this Tigers Guardians game. But like last night, you're on the edge of your seat. You're on pins and needles, and Crochet to turn in that performance, first playoff start at Yankee Stadium, and to do that 7 2/3 and be an absolute workhorse ace, 117 pitches. Like, we don't see that anymore in today's baseball. Like the whole time you're wondering, God, I hope Cora doesn't take him out because Crochet is just humming along. He's cooking. He's retired like, what, like 18 straight batters it was that he retired after he gave up the home run. Like, the dude was unbelievable last night. And that's why you make the trade. That's why you give him all that money, is for games like last night. Kudos to Crochet and what he was able to do in a tough spot on the road in his playoff debut. Now for the Yankees, I mean, this is part of the handicap, right? I know Aaron Boone's under...
Oh, it looks like we've got some internet issues with Mr. Abebefe. We'll see if we get Emmy back Bill, on here shortly. Bill, there he is.
I think it was Nick Costos that cut my internet as I was about to bash his New York Yankees. I think that's what's happening here. Somebody's trying to hate, but we're not going to let it get in our way. We're going to get back on track. And what I was saying, as I was so rudely interrupted by my internet service provider, but what I was saying was that the New York Yankees, part of the handicap is, in these kind of moments, can you trust their manager? Press the right buttons, to pull the right strings. And with the way that Max Fried was pitching, 6 1/3, no earned runs, struck out 6. And yeah, he walked a few guys, but like, Fried looked awesome. He was nasty in high leverage moments. And at 102 pitches, you pull him as if this is a start in May? Bro, this is October. Especially now, as it's October 1st. But like, this is October. This is the playoffs. What are you resting him for? You lose tonight? Yeah, I can see Max Fried until April. Like go out there, and as long as he is cooking, because the Red Sox batters had no answer for Max Fried. The minute they pulled him, as somebody who bet Boston, I was like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now let's see if we can get to this Yankee bullpen. And guess what happened? Luke Weaver trots onto the mound, can't get anyone out. Like, Luke Weaver giving up runs. Here's Masa Yoshida, who I've literally not thought about in like 2 years. He comes up with the RBI single, like, to get things going for Boston. And of course, the rest of the bullpen, they can't get it done. Alex Bregman tacks on some insurance in the ninth inning, and Bill mentioned it. Chapman loads the bases after they brought him in there to do the four-out save. He loads the bases in the ninth. Yankee Stadium's getting rolling, and I'm like, all right. Best case scenario, let's go to extras and let's see what happens. But then once he gets one guy, I'm like, okay, you know, we got a chance here. Strikes out Chisholm, then gets it. It was just unbelievable that Chapman, kind of as the former Yankee, got Yankee fans' hopes up, only to slam the door shut in their faces like we said he would when breaking down this series. I love it. I think the Red Sox are going to win this series. As for tonight, I mean, it's not ideal with Brian Bayo on the mound for Boston, right? But, like, do you trust Carlos Rodon in a big spot? I wouldn't. Like, the more this price continues to get bet on the New York side, the more interested I'm going to become in the Boston Red Sox. And I'm saying this as somebody who bet plus 165 before the series started. I wouldn't mind doubling down in a plus money price if this thing continues to get a little bit out of control. So let's monitor this throughout the next couple of hours here on the show. But I'm loving where I'm at with the Boston Red Sox. I think they get it done either tonight or tomorrow, and they'll be advancing to the ALDS and heading up north to take on the one-seeded Toronto Blue Jays. Bill, hit me with the next story.
All right, Femi, just really quickly here, top seven in Cleveland. Cleveland trying to get out of this mess they were in with two men on and nobody out. They've got now two outs here and still the score tied at one. So we'll see if Cleveland gets out of this. But last night, Femi, it was a home run parade last night in Los Angeles. Five home runs for the Dodgers, including two from Shohei Ohtani, and the Dodgers cruise in game one against the Reds, 10-5. And it wasn't even that close. Reds tacked on three late. Femi, for those who still think the Dodgers are the team to beat in beat this October, they certainly looked the part last night.
Yeah, I'll tell you who didn't look the part. It was Hunter Green, the pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. I thought that Hunter Green might be able to at least like keep his team in it. Here's three innings, six hits, five earned runs, two... gave up three home runs. I don't know if he was just a little bit nervous going back home because he's an LA guy. And there was a lot of that was made up in the broadcast about, hey, like, this is an LA guy pitching at Dodger Stadium against the Dodgers. Maybe he was just nervous, but they took him to task. And at that point, this bad boy was over. Now, I will say this, though, about the Dodgers, because like, it's easy to look at what Blake Snell did, and he was awesome in the game, going seven innings, nine strikeouts. It's easy to look at Ohtani, to look at Teoscar Hernandez with his two home runs as well in the game. The big concern about the Dodgers is the bullpen. Like, this score says 10-5. It was 10-5 in the top of the eighth with the bases loaded. All it took was one hit, and all of a sudden, this is a very, very close game. So as much as you can be kind of like mystified by the lineup that the Dodgers have, can you actually trust this bullpen once they face better teams? Because Cincinnati's lineup, come on. It's a joke. That's not a playoff caliber lineup. Like, we're all like looking around like Ellie De La Cruz. Like, Ellie De La Cruz ain't got nothing for you. Ain't doing anything. Like this lineup is not playoff worthy. But if they win this series, Philadelphia's lineup is, and other lineups down the road are, can this bullpen hang on to these games? That's going to be the big storyline for the Dodgers as we progress throughout the playoffs. They should get by Cincinnati, barring something crazy happening, but watch out for that bullpen starting this weekend when they take on the Phillies. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Gas, he's gone. High heat, and Perez goes down swinging 1-1. We go to the bottom of the seventh.
Detroit, I thought for a second we said he's gone. I was like, did he hit a home run?
No, I'm a White Sox fan. It's the old Hawk Harrelson.
Gotcha. Okay. I was scared for a second. I was like, damn it. Let's go, guards. Guards ball. Come on.
All right. Let's switch over to the NFL, Femi, where we have big news out of Washington. Jaden Daniels has been cleared, and he practiced in full today. Daniels says he plans to play this weekend as the Commanders will be in California to face the Chargers. Chargers currently a 2.5-point favorite over at BetMGM.
Yeah, this is big for the Washington Commanders, obviously. Like, we know he's not going to have his favorite guy, Terry McLaurin, back, barring some sort of, like, unforeseen healing by McLaurin. They said his quad injury is going to have him week to week. But I think right now for the Commanders, Daniels elevates them so much. And the big thing for Washington, too, in this game, and why this is a very gettable game for the Commanders, look at the offensive line for the Chargers. Joe Walt is now doubtful. I mean, the fact that they have him as doubtful is pretty miraculous. I thought that he'd already been ruled out by now, dealing with a high ankle sprain, already missing Rashawn Slater from training camp with that ACL injury. Like, this is a very, very banged up Chargers offensive line. Like, there's still a three out there in the market at a couple of places, one at a pretty prominent domestic sports book, one that's here locally in Las Vegas where I live. Three minus 110 is a bet. And it's a bet that I placed earlier this afternoon. I think this is a coin flip kind of a game. And if you're going to give a quarterback like Daniels caliber 3 points, even if it's on the road, technically, quote unquote, on the road, because I think there actually might be more Washington fans at this game come Sunday with all those people that moved out to the West Coast. Like, I think that this could go either way. So I will gladly take the three. I do think you see Jaden Daniels not maybe look like the guy that we saw with the playoff run, but he should look to like what we should expect to see with him. Maybe dealing with some things with a knee injury, but I would expect to see a really good, competent quarterback. Something that the Commanders haven't had over the last couple of weeks. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, the Baltimore Ravens look like a MASH unit as 8 of their starters did not practice today, including the big one, Lamar Jackson. Now, as we discussed yesterday, the expectation is that Lamar is going to miss this game, probably more. And that, of course, is why the Houston Texans are sitting as a 1-point road favorite in Baltimore on Sunday.
The amount of guys that are hurt for the Ravens is insane. And I understand people will say, all right, I want to bet Houston. I want to do that. It makes sense. But still, with all of those injuries, I don't know if I could justify Houston being the favorite here. Like if Baltimore was healthy, this is close to 10. Now, do all these injuries get you this move from like 9.5 now all the way out to Houston -1 or -1.5? Maybe you can justify it. But if anything, as we always talk about in these fallen hero spots, like, what's more likely to be correct? That we underreacted or that we overreacted? Very rarely do we underreact to when a star player is missing a game. So I would be more on the Baltimore side. I think you're going to see another push towards Houston whenever the Lamar news is official, whether that comes tomorrow, on Friday, or on Saturday. When that news comes out that Lamar's not playing in the game, I think we're going right back to Houston -2.5. I don't think we'll get to 3 because at that point, there's such a big window. People will come by and buy back on that one. But I think we're going to 2.5 with a lot of recreational bettors who don't even think about the games until about Thursday, Friday. Once they start to get into there and say, oh, Lamar is out, I'm going to bet the Houston Texans to win, then that's going to move the market. And at that point, I will be looking to back the Ravens in the fallen hero spot at home with Cooper Rush as the quarterback. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, quickly, the 49ers have a big game tomorrow night, LA Rams NFC West showdown. 49ers dealing with several key injuries, including wide receiver Ricky Pearsall and quarterback Brock Purdy. Both will be listed as questionable for Thursday Night Football. Femi, 49ers, tough spot with Purdy here. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, he is pushing hard to play. He did not look great last week against Jacksonville, turning the ball over three times, and now needs to come back on a short week.
Yeah, this is a tough, tough spot for San Francisco. I actually have seen a sportsbook here in Las Vegas go down to 6.5. So maybe that gives you an indication that perhaps Purdy is going to be able to convince the medical staff and the coaching staff that he can play tomorrow night. But against that Rams pass rush, going up there with a bad toe and an offensive line that's not that sturdy, I would not recommend this for Brock Purdy. I'd be like, hey, buddy, we got Mac Jones out here that can go play, man. Like, let's get you an extra rest, because that's the thing that the Niners have to consider. There's an extra rest after this, a little bit of a mini bye. Do you take advantage of that and get him right for next week and beyond? Or, because it's a division game, do you try to press the gas coming up tomorrow night? Fascinated to see what they ultimately decide to do. But if Purdy doesn't play, it is a nice layup for the Rams to go out there and get a victory on this Thursday night. All right, on the other side, we're talking NFL awards, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and then I will tell you the player you need to bet to win Defensive Player of the Year heading into week 5 in the NFL.